As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On the beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. This is the No Dunks podcast on The Athletic. It's still Wednesday, March 17th. It's still St. Patrick's Day, and Lee is still wearing green. I'm J.E. Skeetzel. Alongside me, we got Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the international man of mystery taking it to the green, Lee Ellis.
Hey, friends.
I'm trying to do an Irish accent. Didn't work very well.
Sounded like you had cereal in your mouth or something. Some Lucky Charms.
Hey, got me Lucky Charms.
Wow.
That's the worst Irish I've ever heard.
Come on, JD. This is a bit of a flimsy holiday anyway, isn't it?
Bite your tongue, sir.
Come on. I mean, St. Paddy's Day. Who really knows who St. Paddy is anyway and what he did?
Yeah. Who cares, really? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, St. Patrick's Day hits a little differently in the middle of a pandemic, I will say that. You don't care as much when you can't go out bar hopping and drinking with everybody. Last but not least, making the magic happen. Yes, it is our proud Irishman here, the No Dunks. It's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube right now. We see you guys. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Tass and JD continuing to kill it with the daily What You Need to Know little mini recap podcast up bright and early for you on YouTube and in your podcast feed. So make sure you subscribe and make sure you check those shows out. Lots of great work from those guys. Before we get into the questions, we've got some good ones, Tass. Some news here, late breaking news sort of this afternoon. Some sad news I'll start with. The Dallas Mavericks announced this afternoon that former NBA center Sean Bradley suffered an accident in January that actually left him paralyzed. Former number two pick of the 93 draft by the Sixers, played a lot of years for the Mavericks, though. He was struck from behind by an automobile while riding his bike near his home there in Utah. I guess he spent 8 weeks in the hospital after neck fusion surgery, and he says he intends to bring greater public awareness to the importance of bicycle safety. Crazy news. Obviously, this happened a while ago. Nobody knew about this, and the Bradley family, along with the Mavericks, letting the world know, sending our best to Big Sean Bradley. Crazy, scary stuff there.
Yeah, awful when you hear about something like that. So hopefully whatever he can do out there, he can rehabilitate and be just live as comfortable a life as he can. But that's a devastating injury for Sean.
Also, other news, we had ourselves a trade right before jumping on here. Very minor trade, one that had been making the rounds like the rumors have the last couple of days. But the Thunder have traded Trevor Ariza, yep, he was on the Thunder, to the Miami Heat for Myers Leonard and a 2027 second round draft pick. Leonard had a no trade clause, but he's signing off on it. So he's going to OKC. But not for long, right, Tess? I mean, he's going to be immediately waived. He's like a piece of paper, really. He's just money at this point to make this deal happen. Ariza's the key piece here for the Miami Heat. I wish I could talk. Too many shows here. But, yeah, again, this one has sort of been like, you'd heard rumors of this last couple days.
Yeah, it is crazy that Trevor Ariza is on the, or was on the Thunder. He totally forgot about that, but he played it like Andre Iguodala did last year with the Memphis Grizzlies. He basically sat out until he was dealt. He was traded for the 11th time in his career.
Holy.
That's an NBA all-timer. Nobody has been traded more than Trevor Ariza. 11 times. Pretty wild. And I guess this means the Heat aren't getting PJ Tucker. I assume that this is their PJ Tucker light. This is Trevor Ariza, you know, can fill the gap at the four spot. Hopefully he can get hot and hit some shots for them, because that's exactly what they need. But they seem like they're still reportedly going after LaMarcus Aldridge. But we'll see if Ariza can add what they need. I mean, this could be his last attempt here at being that vet, that key 3-4 guy. He was with the Blazers last year, you know, before they missed out on the playoffs. So he could do it, but is he a little too old to add that? He'll get one more shot.
What do you think, Lee? Anything to add to this pretty minor deal?
Well, yeah, Ariza can contribute if he stays in shape. I mean, we know he's a good defensive player and a three-point shooter, but we just haven't seen him play for so long. So you just wonder if he's still got anything left in the tank there. But he's a veteran who can fill in some minutes, and he's always kind of highly regarded wherever he's gone, just to be around on the court late in games. But, you know, this is also the Heat just trying to get off the Myad Leonard's contract, and that might be the last time we see him in the league, too.
It's very, very possible, yes. And OKC, of course, for the troubles, get a second-round pick, because that's what Presti does, getting a second-round draft pick. Yeah, this is interesting you brought up PJ Tucker, Tass. That was the curious part to me, because he had been rumored to maybe go to Miami. That made sense. But does this mean he's not now? So who does that help? Who else was in the running there for trying to get him, and are their chances of landing him in a trade with the Rockets a little bit better today after this news? We'll see. Okay, but this is beach stepping. We can talk about that more on tomorrow's Daily Show if we want, but let's get to the questions, Tess.
Well, this first one starts with a word I've never seen before. Wazamistan, no dunks. Last week, Simmons and Zach Lowe were talking about an imminently disgruntled Carl Anthony Towns, and Lowe said he had a Towns trade idea that he could not say on air. My roommate and I are certain that he was talking about a Brandon Ingram for cat swap. Lowe and David Griffin of the Pelicans front office are close, and Griff would probably be pretty pissed if he shared that. Makes sense. Okay, speculating here, but an interesting thought exercise. I think this may be a trade where both teams say no, which are probably the best trades. What do you guys think? Love you guys. Hope you all are well. By the way, Tass, sending a compost-scented candle to the new crib just for you. Oh, nice. That would be amazing. Dirt on the inside of your house? Yummy. Spurs suck. Etouffee and rice. Po' boys. Best. That's from Joe Cretini, obviously in New Orleans.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah. At Trout Boy Joe, he's going by on Twitter, I guess. I think he's right about a couple of things. I like where his mind's going with this... this being the trade that Zach Lowe didn't want to say out on air. Yeah, he's got a relationship with Griff, and you know, it would be those are some big names involved. I do also agree that I think both teams would say no. I don't know if you agree with that, Lee. In some sort of Carl Anthony Towns for Brandon Ingram trade right now.
Oh, I think the Pelicans would do it. I think they'd take Towns. I think he's a better player still than Ingram. He's had a rough 12 months or so.
Yes, true.
But I think in terms of, you know, their age and their contracts and all that stuff, I think overall Towns is likely to be a better player. Ingram's had two very good seasons since he's joined the Pelicans. He was an all-star last season. Close again this season. I think he was in the running. But I think Towns has got a higher upside. I think.
So what then? You're going to trade Steven Adams right away? I mean, like, what are you going to do? And Towns with Zion isn't like a perfect fit. I mean, that's why I'm sort of think it's sort of no from both sides right now.
Yeah, no, I think you can make it work with Towns, Aaron Zion. I think so. I mean, Steven Adams, you shuffle him around if you have to get it get the deal done. But Ingram's a good player. He's a good player. You know, he's a good. He's improved his playmaking and things like that, and his shooting. He missed a couple of free throws late last night, which could have sealed a game. But I just think Towns, from what we've seen, I mean, he can get you 25 and 12 pretty easily. I think he needs a new start, though. I think he needs to go to a new team. And you know, I talked about it last season that he's going to be saying sooner or later, I got to get out of Minnesota. Now, he has to take some responsibility too for the way they've played and the losses that they've piled up, because he's been a big part of or a part of a lot of those losses. But I just think in pure talent, I think Towns, if you know, you have to project out their careers from here, I think Towns is going to have more likely a more successful career than Ingram in terms of individual accolades. You know, I think first all NBA teams and things like that, I think Towns is more likely to make more of those than and All-Star games than Brandon Ingram. So I would do it if I'm the Pelicans, but I don't think the Wolves would do that.
What do you think, Tess? Mm. What do you think that was maybe what Lowe is referencing there, or more like what Willie is asking, you know, who's going to be the better player? Who is the better player right now?
Well, first, this is what beach stepping is all about. Just some major speculation.
Sure.
It's not necessarily based in fact. I love it. This is what it is absolutely made for. So, Cat, we're seeing the lowest Cat that we've seen in his career. And so you bring, if we bring this up now, yeah, it would make sense that that the Wolves would look to trade him, I guess, for a guy who was an All-Star last year in Brandon Ingram. But I don't know. They believe in Cat. I don't know if they would do it right off the bat, although Brandon Ingram's a solid guy. Like, in both situations, if Brandon Ingram ends up on the Timberwolves, he'd still be a really good player. Their defense would still be pretty poopy. They'd still score a lot of points, and they wouldn't win a lot of games. While Cat, you at least likely saying, I think you hope that he comes around and is himself at some point. And we haven't even seen the best version of Cat. So I think mm-hmm. we've got some time here. I think the Wolves are understanding that. Why trade him now when his trade value is probably the lowest that it ever will be? So, Zach Lowe, let's just figure this out, man. Let's
get him on the phone. Let's call him right now.
Yeah.
You know? Who are you talking about, Lowe? What was it? Is this what it was?
I didn't hear that episode. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, I actually did. I know what he's referencing. Yeah, because he sort of just catches himself and he's like, well, you know, I'm not going to say. You get this every once in a while. It's always fun when like Lowe does this or Brian Windhorst does this. You know, the big names out there on a podcast say, well, they like tease you a little bit. They give you just like a little nugget and then you're like left deciphering the clues. Like, ooh, who is he talking about?
Yeah, but they don't want to get scooped though, those guys, you know?
No.
I guess they just want to wait for a little bit more confirmation. But, you know, everyone's trying to break the trades these days, so.
Well, like everyone right now is on the trading block with the deadline next week, you know? Like everybody can be had. There's interest in everybody. That's a part of the game here with the trade deadline. But, yeah, we'll see. I don't think this trade is happening here in the next 8 days or so. But, you know, maybe in the future, yeah, will the Wolves eventually move off Cat? This whole season for Karl-Anthony Towns, it's a pass. Mm-hmm. It's a free pass with what he was dealing with in his personal life coming into the season. And then, of course, the coaching change and all this. Like, you hope, yeah. And he's still an unbelievable player that get a little more talent with him, be it in Minnesota or if he ever is moved, that he can get back to the playoffs. Hey, when Karl-Anthony Towns is your second best player, well, your team can make the playoffs, as we saw with Jimmy Butler, right? So that's pretty special if he's that. And he is, in most instances, the best player anyway. And he can probably get a team there by himself, I would hope, as his career moves on. All right, yeah, fun, speculative first email there. Next one. Hey, No Dunks crew, my dad came home the other day to tell me about a guy he met named Walt. That is an awesome start to an email. Walt is a huge NBA fan, and where I live, there aren't many, even casual fans, who watch the NBA. Because of this, I was intrigued. You know, dad comes home, says he met a guy named Walt who likes the NBA. I know. So this person's dad asked Walt who he thought would win this year's Larry OB. And he said, Walt said with confidence, the Brooklyn Nets. Walt's reasoning? Well, he thinks, Walt does, the Lakers are withholding information from the public about the severity of Anthony Davis's injury. Oh, man, Dr. Walt. With recent news that AD will be reevaluated in a couple of weeks, is Walt a complete genius or a total loon? Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. That's from Alex Horton. Taz, talk to me. Does Walt know something we don't know about Anthony Davis?
Walt, when are you starting your YouTube channel? Get those conspiracy theories out there. You know, I'm a sucker for those theories, you know, the theories that aren't based in any fact. I'll put my mouse over the thumbnail. I'll think about clicking it, and then I'll say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want any part of that. Walt, you made me look into this even further. Okay. I actually went and listened to a doctor about Anthony Davis, who had been out a month with a mild calf strain and the Achilles tendinosis. And then, yeah, on Friday, they said, we're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks. Now, there were some rumblings that, you know, he wasn't improving. But if they're putting a two-week timeline on it, according to a doctor that I heard or that I listened to, it's likely a ramp-up period to getting back on the floor. So that means he's probably working out these next 2 weeks. Because if it was, hey, we'll figure it out later, he isn't improving, then they probably wouldn't have put a time frame on it. Or maybe, you know, I'm not a doctor either, Walt. But I think the only opinions that I heard other than this man, Walt, was that it was a two-week ramp-up period. So I'm going to say he's a little bit of a loon. And it's a fun word to say.
All right.
Yeah, I lean loon in this situation. I think Anthony Davis will be back. And we'll see that, you know, it's coming pretty soon, that two-week evaluation. It's only, you know, 9 days away now. So loon. What do you guys think?
Well, this is a great comment here from a person named Liebel. Is Walt's surname Disney? Because this straight up Fantasia. Okay, the real Lee likes that Liebel comment there. Now, what do you think about this? Is Walt onto something here? Is he onto the Lakers? What's going on with Kevin Durant then, too? Come on, Walt. What's your opinion on there? You got that?
Well, that's
the
thing. Saying the Nets are going to win, I mean, Kevin Durant's had a strained hamstring, you know, that how long ago that now? Like a month ago, maybe. Feels like. Anyway, a hamstring is something I think you can come back from a little bit quicker. But if this is an Achilles, and I just keep on thinking of Kevin Durant in the finals, and, you know, Klay Thompson's out right now, and I just hope for Anthony Davis' sake that it is just extra precautions they're taking right now. Because if he comes back too soon, we know what can happen. So I think the Lakers realize that they just don't need him right now, because they're going to obviously finish in the top four in the West, and if they're all healthy, then the Lakers are still the favorite, in my opinion, to win the championship. So make sure when he does come back, he's 100% clear from this injury, because anything else is just not a risk worth taking. So We'll find out, I guess, soon. I guess, who knows what, you know, exactly when he will be back on the court. But I think the Lakers are taking the right approach if they're just saying, listen, just keep him out as long as he needs to until he's completely over it. But this came from Alex, you said, talking about
Alex
his friend
Walton.
Walt. Yes. Well, speaking about the Lakers, I was out for a walk last summer during, you know, the quarantine situation. And I was wearing a Magic Johnson t-shirt.
Okay.
And this guy stopped me.
Alex
and
Caruso.
This guy here, his name was Stephen Carlisle. And he said to me, he goes, oh, Magic Johnson. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I used to play basketball with Magic Johnson back in Michigan. We used to call him EJ the DJ and Buck. And, he was a great guy. And I was just like, oh, okay, sure. So I took a photo with him. Yeah. I sent that on to Magic Johnson. But unfortunately, he never replied to it. So, you know. That's my Walt.
Well, did you look up this guy's name? I mean, he played at college?
He played on the
pickup runs and stuff.
Yeah, I think he was just a friend of Irvin's from back in the day. So it was incredible though. But that's you wear your Magic Johnson t-shirt around, and people are just like, hey, I know Magic.
Okay.
But unfortunately, Magic, I sent it on DMs on Instagram, and you know, you don't have to really check those, and he never did, nor never responded.
Tweet at him. Tweet the photo at him.
All right, I will. Yeah, I'll see. I'll see if he...
what do you got to lose?
Yeah.
Unless Steve would be upset with you sharing
you
that.
You sent him a DM?
Well, I sent him a DM on Instagram because, you know, you can't DM people on Twitter. And all right, I'll send
it. You didn't want
to
make it public? Yeah, publicize it, man. I'm sure he'll tell you. This guy said that Magic went by EJ the DJ.
Yeah, and Buck. Whoa. Now, I've heard Buck before.
I've heard Buck, yeah. Yeah,
but not EJ the DJ. So
no, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell a DJ story. Yeah, put it public.
Hey, JD, we got a good idea here from the stream team. Lily on the Street, Make It Happen, Netflix, where Lee just wanders around. Hey, are you selling those ribs? Can I buy those? Hey, you know this guy on my shirt? He used to play basketball.
Well, he stopped me.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean he's, you know, being sincere. Though it'll be a weird thing for him to say to you. I'll be honest.
Yeah. Told me his full name. So Anyway, okay. You can see how long ago it was by how short my hair was in that photo. That was,
must
have been July sometime, I guess. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Let's just get to the next one here, Tess.
All right. Hey, no dunkaroos. I am so sick of watching players pretend to dribble around an invisible defender before chucking up a long shot clearly after the clock has expired. But with so many pundits talking three-point percentage and even GMs using these percentages to hand out contracts, I can understand it. So with this in mind, can we please make a rule where if a shot is thrown up from over 30 feet with less than 3 seconds to go, then this shot doesn't go against the player? The shot would only go against the team statistics. I think this makes sense because you're taking the shot for the team. This would give us more incredible buzzer beaters. But to make it more interesting, I want to know if you could do something and you knew for sure that it wouldn't go on your permanent record, so to speak, and no one would find out, what would you do? For me, I want to try out that crazy ribbon yoga. I see them hanging from the ceiling in my gym and I'm too scared to get caught on video swinging myself into a wall. Drive up, eat some fries, saw some Thai from the Gold Coast of Australia. Mm. I wanted to include this because that's very funny. Very funny ending with the ribbon yoga. And I've done a little of that recently, trying to make my girls laugh with not ribbon yoga, but you know, try and do the gymnastics floor routine with a little ribbon, do the air splits. Very hard and very embarrassing. So I get what you're saying, Ty. But Lee, what do you got here? Where do you want to answer this first? Basketball or ribbon?
Yeah, I'll start with the basketball because it drives me crazy as well when guys just wait until the shot clock runs out or the buzzer runs out and then they shoot. It's like, just let it fly, man. It might go in. You just never know. Mike Breen hates it too. He talks about that stuff. Yeah. He's saying, just shoot it. Just get it up. So in some ways, I don't mind this idea to just encourage people to do it because we would see just more buzzer beaters and more big shots made, but it's not going to happen. They're not going to change that rule. So unfortunately, it's a moot point in that sense. Now, when he asked about what would you like to do that wouldn't count against your personal record, I was thinking like, there's no crimes I want to commit, that I could just get away with or anything like that. But then I thought, there's a victimless crime out there that I wouldn't mind committing. And we saw it at the Super Bowl, and you see it often at big events. Someone runs out onto the field and tries to dodge and get past the security guards. I would love to have a go at that, knowing full well that they're not going to like jump on your head and, throw you in the slammer and you get, a $50,000 fine or anything like that. Instead, they're just like, all right, get out of here, you little rascal. Good job. We saw two security guards slip over as they tried to catch you. That's a great stuff. So that's the sort of thing that I would love to do. The World Cup final or some big major event where you just run out there and no one's like, get this guy off, he's disrupting it. It's just like everyone's like, yeah, have fun out there, fella. And then they escort you off and it's like, all right, go on your merry way here. So, you're not hurting anybody. You're not doing, you're just having a little bit of fun. And you're also testing yourself. You're like, I wonder how many of these security guards I can beat. And long, it's like when you're on that bucking bull thing, how long can you stay before they actually get you? That would be the challenge.
Yeah, I remember we would go to the Jays game, if we got the good seats through my buddy Grish sitting down the third baseline, it was always fun to be like, well, we could easily jump on the field here. Like, could I get my ass from here to like center field? Could I touch the wall? Could I scale the wall and get out of there? Yeah. Isn't it like there's one famous clip of like a guy doing it, running on the field, and then he like scurries up like a cat, like up a pole or up the fence, and like looks like he like takes off through the stadium. I'm not sure if they ever caught him. I'm with you, Lee. That's a great one. Would love to have a go at it. I'm fine with I'm fine with you being fair game, by the way. Like, you can get tackled and crushed.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't then go to jail.
Exactly.
Or, you know, have to pay a massive fine or be, you know, never allowed back in the building.
Exactly. Right? Banned for life.
You should be able to
like
tackle
that.
Me and for sure. But that's part of the fun. This is like, exactly. It's like American Gladiators. It's like Powerball or something like that.
And then you set the record. And then the next guy's like, okay, Skeety was 12 seconds before he got detained. I've got to get to 13 seconds. So you got to really work on your skills at evading security guards.
Well, that guy reportedly put a huge bet on him, on somebody running onto the field.
Right.
And his friend, apparently he was in cahoots with his friend who ran on the field first, distracted the cops, and he made, I think, hundreds of thousands of dollars on the bet after he ran on the
field.
Wow. There's a photo of it. Well, it seems sort of legit, but I don't know. I mean, he's probably getting his knuckles broken as we speak or something. You can't pull that off.
Yeah, wasn't there someone on I don't know, TikTok or something at an event last year, I don't know when it was now, and he was saying like, if I get 20,000 tweets or likes or whatever, I'm going to run out onto the field. Yeah. So people, I mean, that's the thing, people, you don't want to encourage people to do it because it is a crime, and it does sit with you for the rest of your life in most cases, but you know, for the challenge, for the answering of this question, I think it's a great idea.
Oh,
I would love a free run at that person too. Like if there was somebody on the field, I would love a huge tackle attempt on that person.
Okay.
With no ramifications.
No, you guys are right. Here's what we should do, because everybody loves this for the most part. Yes, it delays the game and all that. Especially I'm thinking like football or baseball. You know, it doesn't work as well, obviously, in a basketball arena. It's not as fun. But out on the grass or like the soccer pitch or something like that, every game, we know if we're there, we're watching, at some point in the game, one person from one side of the field is going to try and get from their side to the other side. But we have one other person like representing us on this side of the field.
Right,
they got to stop
them.
And we never know when it's going to happen. And it only happens once a game. And it's like a woman or a man in a red shirt over here and a woman or a man in a blue shirt over here. And they just go. And they always got to be ready. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'd be so into that. We'd be placing bets like, oh, who's going to win today? Okay.
Well, because the basketball court is so small, what about if, you know, if there's a loose ball there, you know, the refs, when they put the ball and they're not paying attention, if you can sneak out, grab it.
Steal the ball? Yeah.
Well, no, but make a shot. If you can steal the ball, get the ball and knock in a shot. That's the challenge before, like, security or anyone gets to you.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't work in basketball. It's not the same. We need all that open room because they got to be able to, like, you know, juke a little bit.
Yeah.
Put some guys on skates. Okay. Good stuff. Ty, come up with a new game for us to try and implement in baseball and football and soccer and all that. All right, next one. To the dinkiest of no dunkers. After hearing Trey tallying up who has the most roast beefs, got me thinking, is there an eventual Woboy champion at the end of the season? Is there a tally of who currently has the most Woboys to be crowned the woest boy in the land? And if the award has to be named, like the Bill Russell Trophy, what would it be named? Turn up, love you guys, awesome. That's from Adam in Melbourne, Australia, coming through in flying colors here with the good questions. Yes, for one, a part of your question there, I do keep tally. I actually shared it at the All-Star break, guys, of who was leading so far in Woboys for this year. Thought it'd be a fun little trivia. I actually went and made sure to include up to last night's games. So I'm up to date on all the Woboys right now. You guys want to take a guess at who are the top 8 Woboy leaders? Okay, so there's 8 people that have 3 or more. Have a go at it. This
Jokic,
season.
Embiid, Lillard.
Okay, Jokic number 1 with 8. Lillard number 2 with 7. Embiid coming in 4th with 5.
Giannis
is 3rd with 6. You've got 4 more people. No. Not Luka. Yeah, I think he only has 1.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Steph.
Steph Curry is tied for whatever it is, last here in this list, with one other person with 3. Yes,
James,
3 more names.
James Harden.
Was that your Irish accent again coming out
James
there?
James Harden.
Yes, James Harden with 4. You got 2 more guys. So somebody has 4 and somebody has 3.
Ziggy's saying Zach LaVine in the stream team.
Ziggy knows what's up. Yes, Zach Harden. Ziggy Harden. I mean, Zach LaVine has four.
And Cole Rams suggesting Bradley Beal. Yeah, that's a good one.
No, that's a horrible, horrible call. Just kidding. No, you are overthinking this, I would say, probably.
Well, LeBron.
LeBron James. LeBron has three. So the woest of boys right now is Jokic. So I don't know if you guys have a good, like, do you just name it after the person with the most? Or is it like someone like Bill Russell, someone iconic? Yeah. Like Will Chamberlain, I mean, I think if you went through history, who had the most like eye-opening lines from a box score, I'm going to guess it's Wilt. Especially if you could have counted blocks and steals and stuff like that. Like, I mean, we're talking about games that he's like putting up 50s and 30s and 15s. Like, it's pretty, I mean, it almost has to be named after Will Chamberlain now that I think about it. The woest of boys. But yeah, so you got Jokic leading right now over Damian Lillard. Yeah.
Who won last year? Do you remember?
No idea. I think James Harden did.
Maybe, yeah, Giannis or James Harden, I would think.
I think, it was one of those two guys. But then you, like, if you really had to, like, just, it's tough, right? Because it all depends a little bit to win the woe boy is like when your team is playing, right? Like how many games are on that night?
Yeah.
And you'd have to do like a Schumann like deep dive on the schedule to find out like who's like actually
never
benefiting from, like a lighter schedule that night.
Yeah.
It's usually would be the teams at the top of the league.
I would think so.
Because
You
would. They play on the TNT nights, the Thursday nights, so the schedule is light.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's the case. So
less teams on.
People are saying Wokic after Jokic if he leads. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think this should decide MVP, by the way. I think it should be all in the Woboy's hands. Whoever has the most wins MVP. Done. Great race. I mean, Jokic, Lillard, Giannis.
Yeah.
Embiid. Yeah. I mean, Harden. Even Zach LaVine. Shout out to Trey Kirby. Curry, James. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. All right, the best line of the night award. I mean, it can't just be called best line of the night. That's a no. That sucks.
Lovely. That's where it started, right? Yeah.
Okay, next one here. Watching the Hornets-Kings game on Monday night, I was entertained by the excitable play-by-play commentator, Eric Collins, as much as I was entertained by the on-court action. My question to you is, when was the last time you got way too excited about something fairly ordinary? That's from John in Newark of Trent, England. JD, got an answer for this one?
Well, I do, and it is quite ordinary. The other night, we ordered Chinese food, okay? And it's very ordinary. And we always get, I think this is an American invention. It's Cantonese pan-fried noodles, right? So I never eat them because they're a terrible thing to order because it's the crispy noodles, right? It's they deep fry the noodles and they put the awesome stuff on top. The kids love it, and I'm just like, not into this because it's when we eat in, it's awesome because it's this these crispy.
They show
noodles.
Up soggy at the
house. Yeah,
exactly. They're completely drenched. So, anyways, the Cantonese pan fried noodles arrived, and Rachel was incensed because there wasn't enough noodles in it. Right. And I'm like, I don't care because I don't eat this.
Yeah.
But it was very stressful because she's called to complain. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Because I'm not that I care that she's complaining. I'm just, if they react badly to her complaining, you know what I mean? If they just say, hey, well, whatever, get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then that's it. That's the end of that restaurant
for
us.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And I like this place and I don't want to mess with it anyway. So she called, they were very cool about it. And they sent over some noodles. Just by themselves. She said, just send the noodles. We got lots of the stuff. So they sent these awesome, and it's right around the corner, just down the road.
Ah, nice.
And they were hot and crispy, and I was just like, this is awesome. So then we take the filling and put it on top of these crispy, crispy noodles, and it was amazing. And I was very, very excited, but it's very ordinary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. So you... Now, in the future, are you going to be allowed to order like that? Say, hey, don't put the stuff on top.
Put them on the side.
Listen.
Yeah. Just send the crispy noodles. That's brilliant.
I've seen Mo Verney unbox the Cantonese pan-fried noodles, and what the place that he orders it from, is it Khao San? Whatever it's called in Toronto. They always send it. I don't know if he requests it.
All right.
But now I'm just like, I got to request it. Noodles on the side, filling, on the side. And that's how we got to do it from now on. It's just wow. that, I mean, I hate being the modifier guy. I hate being the substitute guy. It's just like, it doesn't work as delivery, so just don't order it. I'm eating the Singapore noodles, nice spicy curry noodles, but yeah, it's so good. The crispy noodles, it's just like, you know, you can't go wrong. So
yeah, but it is part of the dish anyway. It's not like you're substituting anything, right? It is,
yeah,
they just
you're
have
right.
to put it in two separate dishes.
True. Charge
me yeah. 5 cents for that extra pan that you're sending.
Oh, sure.
Or
charge me for two. It's that good, you know?
Was this last night this happened, did you say?
It wasn't. It was it was on the weekend.
Because we had a food delivery problem last night. The classic, we ordered pizza, and okay, it gets placed. I go to walk the dog around the neighborhood, and when I come back, there's a small bag out there. That's food, and I pick it up, and I'm like, this ain't pizza. And I bring it in, and they're like, no, put that back, put that back. They brought the wrong food. They dropped the wrong food off.
Oh,
and I'm like, well, so what is this? And she's like, it's like sushi. So I put it back, and she had talked to the driver, and I guess he dropped the wrong thing off, and never heard from him. Never saw him again. So
he never picked up the sushi?
Nope, never came. I was like, he's not coming back. I mean, yeah, he may have told you, but
weird,
he's not coming back. Because probably our pizza's at somebody's house, and it's gone.
Yeah, I thought it was deconstructed pizza. That
no, no. Weird. Oh, yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. So, yeah, anyway.
Was the sushi worth it then?
Like, Nora, I think, had the sushi today. Yeah. Oh, we got the today. Refund and all that. They're pretty good at that. Like, if they screw up or there's an error. No, just something else completely was ordered. We didn't even end up having pizza. So it was a
Sounds like when we were at the starter's office and the delivery guy, what was the company, just never showed up.
I don't want to defame
Zifty. It was Zifty.
Zifty.
It just never showed up. And you're out there for hours.
That happened a couple of times where I was, it wasn't Zifty actually, it was someone else because I'm not going to say who.
That's
but,
my bad. Excuse me, Zifty.
No, but they, because they said they called, and remember we used to not get good phone reception in the office there, so I didn't get the call. And apparently they claimed they waited 15 minutes out the front and I never showed up until after that. So they just took off and kept the food. And I called up and said like, well, I haven't got my food and I've paid for it and I don't get a refund. And they were like, you get 50% off your next order. I'm like,
one? They were saying you didn't pick up your phone when we called you.
Well, yeah, they were saying he called and I'm like, well, I never had a call, but you know, anyway, it was, I couldn't believe how they just said food's delivered on the app. And I'm just like, it's not delivered. Trust me, I don't have it. And I'd ordered, I think, 4 pizzas that day. Good pizzas, but no, the driver knew too. He's like, 15 minutes on the dot, boom, gone.
Well, I can't wait around all day for you to get out of this weird room you're in that you can get cell phone reception so you know your food's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we started making you go down and just wait. You
weren't
allowed
to stay in the room. Work.
Yeah,
I know. Anyway.
Oh, those are the days.
All right. I'll throw mine in here. Something ordinary that I got that I'm excited about.
Yeah, what's
that? It's a compost bin.
Oh, that looks nice.
It's an indoor compost bin. It's my housewarming gift from my wife. It's bamboo. All of it, 100% bamboo, even the black part.
Wow.
Who knew? And it doesn't smell.
So,
I mean,
would you put
a
bag in that then, or no, not at all? You'll just clean it out.
You could, you could, but I haven't so far, and so far it's not too stinky. I was using just
you actually have stuff in there right now.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was brand new.
What do you guys
want to
see?
Banana peel.
Let's see.
Oh wow, yeah.
What?
Wow.
That's not stinky.
Yeah,
I mean maybe a little. It's just from yesterday. It's just orange peel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee grinds.
Yeah.
And a paper filter. So
okay, there's not a ton
like
in there.
This kind of smells like a candle. It's citrusy.
A compost candle.
Compost candle, yeah. But I mean, I usually use an open bowl, and Danielle was furious that I'd keep an open bowl in the fridge and I wouldn't take it out. I wouldn't take it out to the compost bin very often. So she got this.
So where will that live then, Tess?
Out on the counter.
It will?
She wants me to take it out every night. She likes it because it looks stylish.
Yeah, it looks
cool. I didn't give a crap, but, you know, it's a nice compromise. It's what marriage is all about. So something that looks good, but I'm supposed to take it out every night.
That's not happening.
Well, it's like 2 days in and I haven't done it, so probably not going to happen. But anyways, it looks cool. It's bamboo.
I'm definitely going to be reaching into that thing to get some ice to freshen
yeah,
up
it does look next like time an ice I'm bucket. Over there.
Yeah. That's a good call. That's a very good call.
Do you want some? Do you want some orange rinds, a little coffee on them in your drink? Let me grab them from the ice bucket. My answer for this, which is the last time you got way too excited about something fairly ordinary, power washing the deck.
Mm.
Always a blast using a power washer. Very satisfying. Yep. So I did that maybe a week or two ago. Had to freshen up the deck, obviously, after the stormy winter months here of Atlanta. But they're a mess, obviously. Mm. So, man, it's just fun to watch that dirt.
Totally.
You know, you just like make art with that thing.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to do that every day in the next few
with
weeks.
The pollen, you're right. You're right. I'll keep it out. But anyway, it's just power washing, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Lee, you got an answer for this one?
Well, speaking of coffee, I bought my nice Lalit coffee machine a few months ago, and man, do I look forward to that coffee in the morning, because you come down, you turn on the machine, you got to give it 5 or 10 minutes for it to warm up.
Oh my God.
It sounds like my nightmare.
No, but see, that's it, Skeetsy. Once you get one, you realize that the wait is so worth it, because the coffee itself is incredible. We've got one of those Nescafe capsule things, and a couple of weeks ago I had one of those just out of, you know, I was like, I'll have this again, and it was like, oh my God, I can't believe I drank that for so long. So, yeah, look, I'm a little hoity-toity with my coffee in the morning, but it's great because because you grind the beans up, and then you take the little container out, have a big old whiff in there, and it's just like, oh, it's so rich. The boys smell it as well. They have a smell of this, guys, and like, smells like coffee. I'm like, oh, it's more than coffee. And then you put it in the filter, you tamp it down there, you give it a few little tamps, you tap it, you look in, and then you insert it and lock it into place. You give it another minute or two, and then I should get my little espresso cup out as well. You warm that up. Oh my God, it's so exciting.
By the time you've done that, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
But see, I used to be like you, Skeetsy, where I'm like, yeah, just give me the coffee, just get it into me. But now I'm like, oh man, just take the extra 10 minutes and it's so worth it. It's just so refreshing. And it's a big, rich, beautiful espresso. Oh my God, it's great.
And then you gotta clean this thing. How often are you cleaning this?
Probably more than I should. Yeah, I actually pull it apart a lot to clean it out, because I don't know, it's like you know, you pull it apart and you clean all the little parts in there and you wipe it down and it's exciting. I just love it. I'm sort of now annoyed at myself that I took so long, because I was always like, I don't need to spend, you know, a couple of $100 on coffee and a grinder and all the coffee beans when I can get these Nescafe ones for, like, you know, they're actually not cheap anyway, but like, you know, you get those and they're delivered and there's no fuss and there's no mess. This one is a lot more work, but it's worth it, man, when you get those when you get that espresso, right? Because the funny thing is, the hardest part is getting the grind and the tamping right every time, because if you have it too tight, it comes down, it comes through a little bit grainy. If you have it too loose, it's a bit too watery. And I have thrown out a few, and I'm like, nah, can't do it.
Wow.
So, I know. So, but when you get that one that's just right, it's like, oh, man, this is good.
So do you think you could go work in a coffee shop and be a barista, like, right now?
I would probably get annoyed at the customers now who just, like, treat their coffee.
Can
as
you
if
wait
it's
a
like,
second, yeah. sir? I'm making my own coffee, thank
no,
you.
I'd be
I
like,
woke up 4 hours ago. Yes, know, I'm still making it.
If they're just like, yeah, just
I mean,
give me
tamper
whatever.
It.
No, not whatever. Have this one, okay? Have this espresso, okay? Now, you don't want one that's too acidy.
One that's a bit dark. You don't want the medium
roast. You're picking what I am going to have.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Beverage.
Yeah.
Wow.
You come to my coffee shop
you know
and I'm
what?
Telling
that's
you
so
what you're having.
Crazy that might work, honestly.
Well, that's it. You come in the morning in a rush. I just need my coffee. No, you don't. You got 5 minutes here. Sit down over there. I'll bring you your coffee when it's ready, you know? But, yeah.
How many coffees did we sell today, Lee? About two. Why are there 300 people saying, yeah, we're moving at my pace?
We couldn't get to it. You know, we're not just serving buckets of coffee-flavored water around here, okay? It's good, great coffee. And finding those right beans as well is incredibly hard. Because I've had a couple of beans that are good and a couple I'm just like, I'm going to have to throw these out. I spent
oh,
like,
my God.
I know.
Throwing away beans.
I know.
You got to get on Trade Coffee. It's called Trade. The
right.
company's called Trade.
Fire
where they
up the
deliver
Trade
it.
Coffee machine.
Yeah, don't trade it.
I might. I can see myself doing that now. I can easily see.
They deliver
it.
Your beans to you.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Yeah, hit me up there.
Trade Coffee.
Trade Coffee.
You don't. Yeah. Okay. They deliver it fresh. They roast them. They get them from roasters throughout the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh. And then, they deliver them to you. Now, they change it up every couple of weeks. So sometimes you'll get some bad ones, but they're always fresh.
Do they have any international beans? I mean,
for sure.
I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to lean into this as much as I can.
Do they have international beans?
These Colombian
how many
ones.
Of these coffees do you have a day, Lee?
Only two because... you know, the thing is, since I've been doing my masterclass,
there's
on
only
sleep,
so many hours
yeah,
in a day.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but point. The masterclass on sleep has taught me a bit more about caffeine because I've been one of those guys who's like, caffeine doesn't really affect me because I don't feel that jolt, but it can still mess with your sleeping rhythm. It can still just have that effect. So I try to have the second one no later than 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm awful. I'm just awful when it comes to coffee right now. I'm such a snob.
Well, it sounds like from the videos I've seen or the Instagram stories, it you do have a connection with your coffee machine. I'll say that. You treat it like your baby, the way you're handling it and caressing it, talking to it.
Because, you know, like I say, I held off for so long because I thought, will I really care about it? Will I? And I'm like, a couple of months in now, I don't remember when I got it, but I'm like, God, it's like I'm having a love affair with this coffee machine.
That's what I mean. Are you having sex with your coffee machine? That's cool if you are, man. It's a kink shame here, but you're into it. But yeah, you were worried you were going to do it. You'll be into it for 2 weeks, and then you'll be like, okay, this is too much work. And it's
and just the
it,
cost, but... and it's just like, would the flavor and the taste and the sensation
money isn't
be
an
different?
Issue to you. You're throwing out beans like you smell the beans, and you're like, don't smell good. Like
I will say I don't throw the beans in the trash. I compost them all, of course.
Oh, okay, good.
But it's like I can't believe the money.
Tess is like, can you throw those my way? I'll throw them in my new compost bucket.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that Trade Coffee brand is that you just trade composting beans. See which composts best. Just trade old beans. I can't throw out beans. I was at my mother-in-law's drinking crap coffee for 6 weeks. So I wasn't grinding my own beans. And so I had my old beans sitting in my old house for 6 weeks. And I couldn't throw them out even after that. I still had to grind them and drink them. And they're a little stale, but can't wait for my new pack of Trade Coffee to come in.
Because I spent $150 on the grinder alone. I'm like, that's like 3 months worth of Nescafe capsules. You know? But And now I even start like working the grind size. And I'm like, I might give it an 8 today. Then you crank it up a little. Maybe I go a 9. Maybe I drop it back to a 7. I'm just like, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I know.
You're into it. I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah, I think as well. You know, being at this age, you're sort of like this is who I am now. It's okay.
Oh, it's okay.
You know, I can understand a few people just like rolling their eyes, but I'm like,
heaven forbid, when we can go back to hanging out with people, meeting strangers at parties. The first person you corner in the start talking about beans. Oh, and that Lee guy was all right. He wouldn't shut up about it. It was a coffee machine, though. It was like a lot of beans talk.
Yeah, I got these beans from this specialty place. I won't say the name, but I did quite a bit of research on these beans. They're, you know, certainly they're special ones from Italy. They were. They were not cheap. And I'm like, great. It's worth it. It's worth it. I got a all big right. old bag. 2.5 pounds worth of them. So, yeah. Anyway, I'll make one for you.
They're going to go stale by the time you drink them.
Nah, we'll see. I don't, like, you know, I only put into the grinder what I'm basically going to use for that cup.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I keep it sealed. I keep it sealed, man. It's
hydraulic chamber.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Next question here. Through Monday, March 15th, No Dunks has used 104 teams in their pick 'em payoff this season, and the Pacers have been used exactly once. Wow. Even though I'm one of the two resident Pacers fans here, I'm not upset about this fact. The Pacers have been playing so badly lately that I cringe when I hear them brought up these days. Oh, man. So here's my question. What's one thing that you felt like you deserved, but you didn't actually want? That's from Kyle, Pacers fan Kyle. What do you got, JD? What's your answer to this?
Yeah, so as you guys know, I'm shopping for a house right now. And over the weekend, I put an offer on a house. And the market right now here in Atlanta, and I think maybe all over, pretty crazy. Like, it's a very much a seller's market.
Yep.
So we got into this, a bit of a bidding war, and we came up with this sort of strategy where we would have an escalation clause, basically. So
classic.
We're gonna top up like whatever your best offer is. We're gonna top it up by $2,000, right, and put a cap on it. Anyway, we didn't get it, right. Mm. So, and it was by far our best offer. We deserved that house. Mm. I mean, and it was high. It was way over what they were asking, right. Mm-hmm. And then so they're like, okay, well, you didn't get the house, but we're inviting all the people. There were five offers. We're inviting all the people who didn't get it to make a backup offer. And I remember you, Skeets, you said, make sure you definitely make a backup offer. And I was like, fuck you, man. I should have got that house.
Right.
And then this is what made me irate was, We had an 8-day
cooling off clause sort of thing, isn't it?
The where you get the inspection and stuff. What's that called?
It's
again?
Called the
due diligence.
Yeah. Due diligence. Yeah. That's it. 8 days, and it's usually 10 days. So we're like, yeah, 8 days, man. It's like that's like 1 day more than a week. That's fast. and so they're like all you backup offer people. Just so you know, the winning bid got. Their due diligence was 5 days.
Oh.
So if you're going to make a backup offer, it's got to be 5 days due diligence. It's like, It's a backup offer,
yeah,
man.
They're drunk
take
on power is what they are.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So that house is dead to me. It's like I have such spite. It's like, you know what? I will fuck myself before, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
In this market, too, it's just like, there's not like, there's tons of houses to choose from. So now I'm just sitting here waiting for another stupid offer that we made.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, I just wanted to get that out, you know.
Yeah, I think you needed to get that off your chest.
Do you feel a bit better? I feel great. Yeah.
Yeah, make him a coffee. Go whip up something for him.
It's funny, though, talking about houses like that, because we haven't really been considering a move. But about just before the pandemic last year, a house just around the corner from us, a beautiful house, went up for sale. And the price was within our price range, and we went and checked it out, and it was the sort of same. I was like, "Oh, I think I mean we can afford this, you know."
Yeah.
But then the price. What happened in the end? Now I can't remember. But the price they sold it for was just over asking, a tick over, and mm-hmm. and that was the sort of same for me. I was like, "Well, if you're going to sell it for that, then you may as well have just given it to us, you know. We were going to do it." But, yeah. But then I was also like. I'm like Jaddy, well, I don't want that. That's the shittest house I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I don't want it anymore.
It's haunted. Yeah. The foundation sucks. You know, but it was going to be a hole in the roof.
Yeah. So I was like, we weren't really looking to move. It was more just sort of like, you know, it became available and we could afford it. And then I was like, well, you're sort of teasing us by just give it to us then. And we'll pay the asking price. Don't go for 5,000 over. Why are we even doing this dance? So...
The good thing about the backup, JD, in our case at least, is that you go under what you originally were offering and got like outbid on. And so you're like, well, I'm the backup offer. So I'll just like, we'll drop X amount off. And, you know, I didn't think it was ever going to, I didn't know that was even a thing before buying it. What do you mean a backup offer? Like, what's going to happen? But they're like, oh, a lot of people, like, especially in the last year, you know, start checking finances or they got a little zealous or they had second thoughts, cold feet, whatever, that a lot of people actually pull out, which I guess is a problem down here. Well, Tass, you went through this, obviously, with just selling your house. So then you sort of feel good. You're like, ha ha, you should have just taken us to begin with. And now we're laughing because we got it for even less, but.
Yeah.
I mean, yours case was a little different because it sounded like so many people were in the running.
Yeah. We went to a house I don't know why they let us see it, but there was already 18 offers on this house. 18 offers. I mean,
that is insane.
I know like people who are listening in Toronto right now are going, that's nothing.
No, yeah.
That is nothing. But here it's just like, hey, why are you even letting us watch it? We're not going to make making an offer on this house if there's 18 offers. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Open house, more like closed house, am I right? It is weird that there's so many offers on a house and they still continue to do open houses on them.
That I almost forgive because it's more of a marketing thing for them.
Business.
It's just to get people in there and say, oh, meet you like people. This one?
Well, I got one that's similar to that. Yeah, exactly. In your price range. That's true.
Nah, don't like it. It's strange.
It does suck, but hey, man, that's the game. I don't mind being sold, you know? Like, I don't mind, like, I don't mind the tricks of the trade, and I like a song and dance, you know? Like, I can be easily convinced into pretty much anything. just sell me, you beautiful bastard, you know? I prefer that than the total apathy. Like, yeah, it's just like around, you know?
Oh, man. So you said you're waiting to find out tonight because you have another offer on another
Our
house.
Offer, the deadline is, it ends at 8 tonight.
Oh, wow.
And they're just, I know they're just sitting there waiting for another offer. And I know that we're the only offer, so. And we get, the offer is exactly the price they want.
Okay, all right.
Right? So it's just like, what are you waiting for? This is exactly what you wanted, so. Anyway, we'll see.
All right, good luck.
Fingers crossed.
Good luck. I mean, look, you're running out of time. 4 hours to go here.
If
like you said, your offer is pretty competitive, which it is, sounds like it's meeting the requirements, you might get this house, man.
Maybe. My agent said, this is a good offer. It's not a competitive offer. It's a good offer.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And I know you. There's this thing, and I think you guys did it where you wrote a letter.
Oh, talking about
how great the house was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I am. There's no way I'm.
No, let me write yours. I'll write yours. I'll get Norm to write yours.
Go the opposite direction, JD, and just say, "I hate this house. I would never live in this house.
Play it hard to get.
Sucks." Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Why am I even wasting my time looking at your house? It is disgusting. Here's my final offer, and I will not pay.
My final offer: 10K over asking, and that's it. And then I'm walking away. Your stupid house. Reverse psychology. Wow. Something there.
4 hours. 4 hours seems like a short amount of time, but when you're looking at a house, it's painstakingly long, man. You want to record maybe a couple emergency podcasts?
I was going to say happy hour tonight if you get a house.
Sure, why not? Why not? It's not like we have to watch basketball during those things anyway. So.
Is there any other answers to this that someone wanted to slip in there? One thing that you felt like you deserved but you didn't actually want?
No, well, mine was just the house as well, sort of. Just with staying with the house talk there. So I'm glad we didn't get it. Now I can waste all my money on coffee instead.
Yeah, on beans that I just take one sniff of and then throw out. All right, final one then.
All right, hey there. This is specifically for Skeets. I live in the Atlanta area and work as an elevator mechanic. My job requires me to clean a lot of very old, dingy mechanical parts.
Wow.
I heard on the pod today that Skeets was looking for someone to clean his barbecue. I am willing to clean it for $80. I can provide my own degreaser, wire brush, and cleaning buckets. Ooh. I only require a hose. I promise. I'm a good cleaner. I'm sure your grill is nowhere near as dirty as the pit of a 50-year-old elevator. I'll make that thing so clean you could eat off of it, or at least clean enough to cook your food on. Your friendly neighborhood cleaning man, Ethan. P.S. I'm not joking. I will clean your grill.
Wow. All right. So we have Ethan's contact info. I might have to take him up on this. Yeah. I believe if you can clean a 50-year-old elevator shaft or actual elevator itself, I don't know, whatever you call those other parts, then man, yeah, I'm sure you can clean my grill. It's not that bad. But I was just thinking, can I take the power washer to my to my barbecue? Just rip it in there? Yeah, I guess I could. It'd probably all fall apart, but I'd probably ruin it. Okay, good to know, Ethan. Appreciate that. I haven't ultimately decided yet. I'll say it, guys. I was shocked by the blowback I received for even considering paying someone some good money to come clean my barbecue. And you guys all laughed me off the podcast. What is wrong with you? Come on. So now I'm considering doing it.
Yeah, but I think that they thought that you just meant scrubbing the grill.
Yeah, I did. I don't think they realized that. You're right. I mean, take the whole damn thing apart, basically, and clean that sucker really, really thoroughly, which is a dirty job. I mean, it's grease, guys. Like, it's going to be messy. Yeah. Not that you can't do it. It's just going to be a little time-consuming and dirty. So why not pay somebody to do it? It was my thinking. But I might go with Ethan. Ethan, I got your email. I'll let you know if I write you back.
$80 seems like a steal.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't it?
God.
$80?
I think that's the perfect price.
That's perfect, yeah. Because you know why? I'm tipping him 20.
Yeah.
If he does a good job, you know. So, like, yeah. I was thinking in my head always it was going to cost $100. Because I think if done correctly, it's gonna be an hour plus of work for sure.
Yeah,
I think. But maybe I'm underestimating how easy it is to clean one of these things. I don't know. Maybe I should do it. So I have an idea.
He's a fan of the show, so he may slow it down, linger, get you chatting.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh, geez, Ethan, we're not talking basketball while you're cleaning my grill. Maybe if you clean it really well, we'll fire up some hot dogs, talk about the Raptors' chances.
Well, you got to test it after,
you do,
right?
You
it has
test
to be
it.
Tested.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, okay.
You never know.
Do you tip your barbecue cleaner? The question of the day.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Here where we live, we tip everybody. Mm-hmm. Of
well,
course.
Not
That's
enough
part
people
of the game.
Clip their tip their dry cleaners, as we've gone over before. Mm. In my opinion, not enough people do.
Well, it's getting harder to tip the dry cleaner because I always pay with my credit card,
they
don't have a tip thing. So
taking actual money out of the equation, you know, not that you can't add, of course, the percentages and stuff like that. But
oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Quick story about my movers that I just had. I had to pay them, or I had to tip them, and I didn't have enough cash on me. So I went to the old cash machine in the middle of my move, and the bank machine ate my bank card.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It's freaking crazy. Yeah, so I'm sitting there at the bank machine waiting and waiting and waiting, thinking, I don't know, it's going to spit back out. I'm on the phone waiting for it. It doesn't happen. I end up going home. I end up using the Cash App to send the movers a tip.
Wow, there you go.
And so I send the movers a tip. And this is right at the end of the night. They're driving away. And I put in the handle. I'm like, is this the same guy? I don't know. The name doesn't match. So they're in their truck. I'm going up to their truck. I'm knocking on the window. I'm like, is your nickname Dooney?
Is there a Dooney in the truck?
He's like, yeah, that's me. Cool. There you go, man. You have been tipped via the Cash App.
So what'd you tip? What are we talking?
25 each, man.
Well,
that was a good. They did a good job. They lost a few things. I noticed later.
You found yourself a bonus table.
You know,
a bonus table.
I think with the cash machine these days, you can just use your phone to scan too. Like, you don't actually need the card anymore. There was one just up the road from my place, but it's closed down. But yeah, you didn't actually need your card. You just like Apple Pay. But you hover your card over the thing. So I don't know if maybe they're sending your message task to
so
say.
So what? They're trying to say, oh, here, we'll keep that bank card. You don't need that anymore.
I mean, just use your phone. Yeah, I think eventually that's where it's going, isn't it? I mean, everywhere else you can pay with just your phone or your Apple Watch or whatever you got these days. So,
Well, when I called in to get my replacement bank card and I was at the bank machine, the lady did not care whatsoever. She's like, okay, we'll send you another one.
Yeah.
Like, I was, a little bit panic, not panic, but I'm like, you lose a bank card. I don't like losing my bank card.
No, I just don't
like doing that. I never do it. And she's just like, no big deal. Just in the machine. Just go home, use the Cash App, pay Dooney and his friends, and you're good to go. Dooney was the one who got my Toronto Raptors decal as well. Oversight. I threw it in the trash. He took it. And I think there was a couple posters in there that he got as a bonus that he didn't tell me about. But that's cool.
Nice.
That's cool.
They're going in the garbage. Yeah, take them, man.
Well, yeah. I didn't mean to put those ones in the garbage, but I will.
Oh. Oh,
I didn't know they were in there.
Oh. I will. Yeah, Dooney, I'm going to need that starter slide back that has like 100 signatures on it from NBA players. I accidentally chucked that in the garbage.
I've got so many posters, so many starters posters in my house. I had to get rid of... the Guy Fieri signed poster that was on our set. It was all bent up.
Oh, wow.
It was already trashed.
That's a shame. Did you take a photo of it at least?
No. I've seen it on video. It's on video, though, 1,000 times.
Okay.
It was trashed. Somebody, I think Dooney stepped on it. I don't know
so you're not going to be putting up any of these posters behind you because you're living in the void is what you're doing here with this, right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Where am I?
Just for sound quality. I guess you can't really put the stuff on top of those sound baffling things, really. It would just fall off, wouldn't it?
Man, you might be able to.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know.
We're evolving. You never know. Okay. You never know.
Okay. Is this like, is this a permanent setup, though, in theory, Tess, or is this like a makeshift right now in the new house?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
We're still figuring it out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, let's call it there. Wow. There was some basketball talk early in this, and then we started talking beans and houses and composts, and same things we talk about, it feels like, every podcast. But thanks for sticking with us here on the Stream Team. Appreciate you guys joining us on a Wednesday afternoon. Make sure you check out our daily show from this morning, and Tass is What You Need to Know. Got a couple more of those coming, of course, as the week goes on. TK still on vacation. I didn't say that off the top, but he will be back next week. JD, have you followed up with Trey about the pick and payoff? I just realized
I haven't heard from him at all. I'll send him a message. I feel guilty about it because he's on vacation.
Shouldn't feel guilty. You should be bragging, JD, before it falls apart. You know, you're 2-0. If you move to 3-0, then
I'm bugging him to film himself doing his punishment.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Come on, we agreed to it. That is the part of the punishment was him having to do it on vacation. We said, which sucks. Okay, we'll follow up with that. But guys, keep your emails and like your questions and your comments still coming to nodunks@theathletic.com. Get your No Dunks merch, nodunks.com. Subscribe to The Athletic for $1 starting March 22nd. Yes, we clarified it, guys. So right now, go to theathletic.com/nodunks. You're not going to see the dollar a month deal yet. It is coming. It hasn't kicked in yet, but apparently on March 22nd it does. I guess that's right now, Tass, it's still $3.99 a month, which is hilariously cheap. So, I mean, you could still go do it now, yeah. Or you can just wait till March 22nd for that dollar a month deal.
Set a reminder. Set a reminder for March 22nd. Not only theathletic.com/NoDunks, but we're going to have a special URL for our Canadian friends, theathletic.com/NoDunksCanada.
Oh.
Just to make sure they get the right
just
one.
Just to make it even more confusing. Excellent.
Yeah, you never know. Well, I had a conversation with our friend Max Glassman where we're going to go with theathletic.com/NoDunksCA. Or theathletic.com/NoDunksAEH.
Oh, no, no, no.
But then that'd be too complicated. Yeah, so we went with Canada, full Canada.
Okay.
So set, set your browser, set your homepage for the next 5 days. See what happens. And just March 22nd. Hopefully it'll be there for you.
All right. Great. I can't wait for us to have to send another email to somebody at The Athletic. Hey, can you guys turn that on? It's March 22nd. Anyway, we'll call it there. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
I checked for you, JD. Trey is online because I see some read receipts on WhatsApp. He's seen some messages. Mm. So, you know, don't feel too bad. Don't All right. feel too bad. All right. That's it.
Embrace the day, people. Embrace the day, people. You could stay, every day. And I'd be happy every minute.